The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyor of fine games, and Bezier Games, the new classics. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello?
Hello.
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 Hello. And welcome to the show.
I'm Sarah Meadows.
I'm Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
In the house.
Wait, we're missing someone.
Yeah, Will's in a meeting.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to just start without him.
Yep. Maybe he'll join us.
We have started without him.
The show must go on.
The show must go on. Man, we've had so much to do, so many things that we have been doing, but the coolest thing that we just finished was...
Charterstone.
Yeah, Charterstone by Stonemaier Games.
I won.
Wait, did you win the last game? I think I won the last game.
But it's the winner of the campaign.
That's true.
That really
All right.
matters.
You're right, Melissa.
That's right.
Yeah. I was actually surprised because I went through, I don't remember, like, Will had won three rounds, and everybody else had won a round. Mm-hmm. And I had not won anything, but I still ended up in, like,
third place.
There
was one game that you did really well on.
There was one game.
I think that really helped you out.
But I was surprised at how, what I felt like was I was super behind the whole time. And then towards the end, I finally felt like I was getting some traction. Okay. And then I was really surprised at how close the scores ended up at the very end of the game.
Except for mine. I knew I was pretty far behind the whole time, and then never really caught back up.
So the question is, did we enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I did, like, try
Even Ryan?
Yeah. I think I got second or third overall in the campaign. I did feel like the game was kind of against me because I focused too hard on that first game, and I won the first one.
Right.
And then after that, I kind of hindered myself, in that first game by not focusing on one of the very key elements of the game, which kind of affected all of my later rounds.
Yeah.
And I should have refocused on the greater campaign, and I just shot myself.
Yeah. Well, there was also a little misunderstanding with some of the rules at the very beginning
that
none of us knew about.
We would recommend.
But Ryan was the one that was most hurt when we corrected ourselves on the rules.
That's right.
We would recommend you read the rules carefully.
Yes.
And make sure everyone at the table understands them.
And if you have any questions, feel free to hit us up because we are experts now.
had to reference the rule book many times.
And we haven't said this, but we did play six players. So all six of us played, and I actually really enjoyed it with six player, and it went pretty fast. I would say each game lasted about an hour. There were some games that were a little longer and some games that were a lot shorter, like game nine.
Yeah. All right, so something that I thought was kind of unique and really interesting about this game, no spoilers, this shouldn't really be a big surprise, is that there are rules to continue playing outside of the campaign. After you've finished the story and all the surprises, you can actually play the game and change it up, and it would be totally different.
Mm-hmm. Like different charters and things like that. Yeah.
So in this, you're building your own charter.
Yeah.
If I was to play Kevin's charter, for example, I'd have no idea what kind of strategy I would need to try to use. That would just be really interesting. It's exciting to me that they built a legacy game that you then have just a regular game when you're done.
Right, because you can't really, you could do that with Pandemic Legacy Season 2 or Season 1, but not really.
But yeah.
I mean,
it's not
just
quite
playing
the same.
Pandemic. This one does switch it up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, you,
on the replayability.
You really mar the board, or at least we did when we played Pandemic Legacy.
Yeah,
like, it'd be super hard to just continue playing in that.
Yeah, we may have had a few cities that the cards are no longer with us. we may have nuked something.
That's right. Yeah. Well, back to Charterstone.
I just thought that was
cool.
Super neat that they planned that, and The other side of the board, yes. I don't know if we've mentioned this, side of the board is completely blank and a complete copy of the first side, and you can buy a recharge pack and just play again.
Yeah, I think you can buy the recharge pack for like $35, which gives you like a whole new, like you play a whole new game with like different people.
Oh, my strategy would be so different if we were to start again.
I know, Kevin and I are talking about that, and we're going to need to have to balance like knowledge that we have compared to the other players that don't have the knowledge.
We usually help people, so we would help them, you know, make the better decisions that we would make.
And there are decisions that get made in the stories that you read and, you know, different parts of it that may change the outcome. Like, you...
It may be a different path.
Yes, tree. You may take a different tree and end up in something totally different.
So if you played it again, would you play as the same color?
No.
I think I would probably change.
I'm going to do a different color. Yeah.
Yeah, I might even roll the die to.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Other players choose a color for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific color that you think this color?
Not yellow.
Oh, not yellow.
That's what you played.
That was mine.
Red won in our game.
So you can't do red. I would probably choose Will's and see how the blue color. It seemed interesting.
Well, I will say though that the yellow one probably would have been fine if Ryan hadn't had that stumbling block there at the beginning.
And some of the yellow things turned out really good for other people.
I know, I had one.
Yes, there were a lot of people who benefited.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
From the yellow charter.
So. How is Studio Awesome coming along?
Slow.
I thought you guys went to IKEA. I thought we did.
Oh, that's what you're referring to. We went to IKEA.
This was a perfect segue
that you guys just dropped the ball on.
We did.
Yeah. Sorry. I totally was like, that's not what you said we were going to talk about, Kevin.
Well, I thought IKEA, you guys were going
to
get
it. We went to IKEA and we got the classic Kalax or Kalax. I don't know.
Kalax. However you want to pronounce
which
that.
Which you see in a lot of shelfies.
Yes.
And that's what we're using for our games now. And it's great. Like, I didn't realize it was going to be.
So you already put it together?
Yes.
We have two
of the 2x4s.
Okay.
We're going to do them laterally.
Where are you going to
put them? But Ryan's been working on taxes, and he told me that my putting the first one together was super distracting. It was like, so he didn't let me put the second one together.
Bang. Yeah. So, but we're going to put them in Studio Awesome.
See? You've been working on Studio Awesome.
We have.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
we're very pleased with them.
Have you already filled them?
We filled the one that we've already put together.
Yeah.
And we've got plenty of games left over.
Many games, and I'm already thinking, like, maybe we should have bought some more. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool.
This episode is sponsored by Sharky Games. They launched Dead Throne on Kickstarter March 10th. Dead Throne is a 1-7 player game. Players can explore the world of Velus, going on quests and fighting creatures. You'll pick a character that can be upgraded with items purchased at the market. Everything is organized as soon as you open the box. There are more than 500 cards in the game, all in their own tuck boxes. Players will use their card trays designed to manage their inventory as they progress through the game. A cool feature is the mechanical market, located within the box lid itself. With future expansion packs already in mind, Sharky Games has included extra room to store whatever is needed now and in the future. You can back the Early Bird Pledge for £75, which is a little over $100. Once the Early Bird Pledges are gone, the base pledge is £90, which is about $125.
Well, let's jump into our first interview with Dr. Stephen Finn from Dr. Finn's Games. Hey!
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm glad you could be on the show. Tell us, who is Dr. Finn and what is Dr. Finn's Games?
Dr. Finn is Steve Finn. That's me, of course. And Dr. Finn's Games is a small independent publishing company, board game company that it's been in existence now for about 12 to 15 years.
Okay.
I have a long history where I used to make my own games, manufacture my own games.
Wow.
But the first game I'm most known for is Biblios.
Yeah, we have a copy of Biblios.
We do.
Yes, but prior to that, I had made these little handmade games that I would try to sell or give out Okay. I had a few of those.
So you would just do a couple dozen of those, or as many as you can make and try and sell them?
Yeah, basically. It would be probably like 100 or so.
Oh, wow.
Biblio started in a little VHS case where I made a couple hundred of those.
Cool. And when was Biblios published?
2008,
I believe. Oh, so 10 years ago. Wow. Well, happy 10-year anniversary on that one.
Thanks. You know, but I always forget dates. I'm not 100% sure. I don't pay attention to those things. It's too much stuff to remember.
So when did you decide to start, like, just designing games in one aspect? And, like, for instance, I know, like, Herbaceous was your design, but you sort of, like, partnered with Pencil First. Like, what made you decide to go that route for some of the games?
When I started making games, I had no intention at the time really to even make a business out of it or try to have anything published. It was more just kind of a curiosity. Then it led, you know, one thing led to another. I decided to try to sell a few games or see what people thought of the games. And very early, Biblios, it wasn't called Biblios, it was called Scriptorium. And then when I discovered there was a game already called Scriptorium, I changed it to Scripts and Scribes.
Okay.
So that was the one in the VHS case. And somehow that managed to end up in the hands of people at Yellow. I didn't even try to get it there.
Okay.
I wasn't trying. And they contacted me and said, can we publish this game?
Wow.
And this is a fun fact, is Yellow's first game is Biblios.
Really?
So they contacted me and they said, can we make, we want to go into the game publishing business. We like your game. And I said, okay, let's do it. So that was just very fortuitous. After that, I decided I was going to just try to publish my own games just to see if I could give it a go. In answering your question about Herbaceous, Herbaceous was kind of just a random thing that occurred. I don't really go out actively look to have my games published.
Okay.
So Edo of Pencil First Games reviewed, I think he reviewed Biblios. I then contacted him and asked him if he wanted to review some of my other games that I had kickstarted, like Biblios Dice. And he reviewed that, he liked it, and he started liking a lot of my games. We discovered then that he grew up very close to where I live in New York in Westchester County. So when he was coming back to visit family, we met up and he showed me this beautiful art. He said, look at this, or he said, you know, I have this great art I want to show you. And he showed me Beth Sobel's Herbaceous art. So the art was already made.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, the art was made and she had been using it as a retheme of, I think it's called Bonanza.
Oh, like
the bean game.
The bean game. Everyone calls it the bean game, right?
Right. So the bean game. So that was actually her. She just did the art to make her own copy of the bean game, her own little version of it.
She does that.
I know. It's beautiful. He showed me the art and said, can you make a game with this? And I said, yes, I can. And that's how Herbaceous came to be. So I didn't even, I mean, the theme, none of it came from me. The art came, you know, the art came, and I just made the mechanics. So that was very fortuitous. I haven't been actively looking to work with publishers other than maybe some foreign ones to do my own games.
Cool. So Herbaceous, and then I know Sunset Over Water, did you help with that as well?
I did. I also did the mechanical design.
For Sunset, and we enjoyed that one.
Yeah, we enjoyed both of those games a whole lot. So thank you. Thank you for making
them.
You're
welcome. Well, thanks for reviewing them.
Yeah. So I know one of the recent games that we just previewed was Waters of Nereus and Cosmic Run Regeneration. That you did launch on Kickstarter, but then you decided to cancel. Can you tell us just a little bit about that process and what happened?
Yeah, what happened was I was trying a little bit of an experiment to do two Kickstarters at once for two games. They've both been in development, and they were both ready at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought that I had really built up enough of a following. You know, I don't know. I think it's about 200 people who just consider my projects to be Instabacks.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have another 300 people that, as the campaign goes on, will always, you know,
yeah, they'll
come
join
in to help.
Sure.
They'll join, especially if it's needed.
Yeah.
But I've been doing so many Kickstarters, I think a lot of people started to think, oh, it's going to fund, don't worry. And if I don't fund this time, or if it funds, I'll still be able to get it on the next Kickstarter.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So I'm a little bit of a, what's the, it's not enemy of my own success, but it's something like that, you know. I can't remember what it is, but I have, there's a phrase that means something along those lines.
Okay.
Where I've had so many successful Kickstarters now that it's almost like, oh, people think it's going to fund.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, turns out that there doesn't seem to be an urgency maybe in people's minds or whatever. But I launched it after a couple days. The first day was great as usual. But then it was like just it stopped almost immediately. I'd never seen anything like it. I've always had a slowdown in the middle. I'm very mm-hmm. used to this. Almost all of my projects have followed the same path once I started to get established. And that was strong first day, funded within like a week, a middle period of just very slow, and then a strong finish at the end to
right.
reach a stretch goal, maybe two stretch goals. But that's about it. So I was hoping this would be it would be different. Something would happen. Maybe with two games, I could just, you know, get up there very quickly. And
right, because you might have pull in different audiences for it or something like that.
Pull in different audiences, or a lot of my normal backers would be backing both games, which a lot of them did. You know, the double game level was the most popular tier. But as I was in it, I just realized this isn't working. I don't feel like it's going to make it. And if it did make it, it might just squeak over at the very end. And to be honest, I just didn't want to have to live through 3 weeks of wondering.
Yeah.
And I decided that two games at once probably was a mistake.
Okay.
Because it drew it, you know, like there was no unity or focus to the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I can also a higher stretch goal. I had to have a higher, not stretch goal, I had a higher funding goal. So I decided maybe it's better for me to just go one at a time with the much, you know, with the half funding goal. Because this was 35,000.
Mm.
I usually have like 15,000 to 17,000. And I think I could raise that in 2 days.
Okay.
And then that way, you know, when people see that it's almost near the funding goal and they could see some stretch goals, it builds up momentum and so forth.
Right, because Kickstarter is so crowded right now. And even these last few months, so many games are coming out. So people are having to wade through so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
But
and we try to help show people, you know, the better games out there, but it's still very hard because there are just so many games.
Yeah, there's just so many games. And then there's also games. What happened also, I don't think this is coincidence, but on the second day of my campaign, Batman was released. Or not released,
yeah, launched.
But was launched.
Yeah.
And
I had a lot of eyes on that campaign.
Yeah, I think, and I mean, it was insane. You know, I just have such mixed emotions about
mm-hmm.
Kickstarter these days because it's for me, it's my lifeblood.
Mm-hmm.
What it means to me, it is no longer what I thought it should be.
Yeah, it's definitely changed the who's using it and what companies are using it and what they're using it for. It's probably changed.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it has changed. So
it also has raised a lot of expectations for what should be on there.
Hmm.
You know, I have emails now. Oh, well, if you're not going to have an exclusive whatever, there's no reason for me to do it. For me to back your project.
Yeah.
You have to give me something specific, you know, and that's a good reward just for Kickstarter backers. And I've started to do that, and I do it. I do it reluctantly. I would rather think that it should be for people to help other people bring something cool into existence, and that you really don't need anything necessarily that special.
Yeah.
I'll sign the game for you.
There you go.
So if you want.
So tell me, what's the path forward for specifically these two games? Are you which one do you feel like you're going to bring first?
That's a good question. Which one do you think I should bring first? I don't know, because I know a lot of people really want Cosmic Run Regeneration because it's a new version of the older game.
Mm-hmm.
But Waters of Nereus is brand new. So I have people, fans on both sides pulling me in both directions.
Well, you might be able to make the choice, and either one might be a good decision then.
I think so. Yeah. I'm leaning towards Waters of Nereus because it's a new game,
mm-hmm.
and I like to keep getting new stuff out there.
Well, I will say I think Melissa and I might have enjoyed that one a little bit more. I think it might fit our play style a little better.
Yeah, it's a very different game.
Yeah, a little bit more on the Euro side, where Cosmic Run was more with the push your luck and the dice.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it is a. I think it's, in my own opinion, it's a better game. You know, it's more thinky. Whereas I consider Cosmic Run, in a sense, to be more fun and accessible.
Sure.
Like if people say, "What's your most fun game?" I usually say Cosmic Run. But if they say, "What's your best game?" I usually say Institute for Magical Arts, or I might now say Waters of Nereus.
So where can people find the games that you already have published, the ones that they can buy today?
The ones that they can buy today, they can buy directly from my website, which is Dr. Finns, and you spell out Dr., DocTorFinns.com. I do not deal directly with distributors. I have tried, and I was being carried by, it was Alliance, and then they dropped me. I've also have a relationship with some small number of stores that I'd sell directly to, and I've tried to get distributors to pick up my games, but they're very busy, I guess, with all these Kickstarter projects and all the new games that are coming out. They don't like to return calls.
Yeah. Do you sell on Amazon?
I do sell on Amazon.
Okay.
And it's directly from me.
Sure.
But when you go to Amazon, then you're giving Amazon, you know.
I know.
30% of the sale or whatever it turns out to be.
So they want to go to drfinnsgames.com. Sounds good.
Well, drfinns.com.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
That's okay.
Get it right.
Get it right, Kevin. Sorry.
Yes. If you just Google, you know, if you just do a search for Dr. Finns Games, you'll find it. That's the easiest way.
Cool.
Yeah.
So whatever one you choose, Waters of Nereus or Cosmic Run Regeneration, are you thinking in April or May or...
No. I have my new plan is to run a small number of mini campaigns, which will last like a week.
Whoa.
And what I'm going to try to do is raise awareness of some of my older games.
Okay.
By offering like a 5-card mini variant expansion pack.
Okay.
So for people who bought, for example, Let Them Eat Shrimp. I still have about 200 copies left in my garage. So for people who bought the original, for a couple bucks, they can get this Kickstarter exclusive, Kickstarter exclusive pack.
Uh-huh.
And for new people who've never played the game, they'll be able to buy the pack and the game, and the game will be at a severely discounted price.
Cool.
Like basically, I'm now liquidating. I'm going to be trying to liquidate my old stock.
Okay.
I store all the games mostly in my garage, and it's starting to pile up. So I've got a mini expansion for Let Them Eat Shrimp. I'm going to have one for Biblios Dice.
Okay.
And then I might create a couple for more recent games just to move some of the stock, like Cosmic Run Rapid Fire or Little Flower Shop.
Very, very cool. When do you feel you're going to run that first mini campaign?
That could be as soon as a month from now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we will look forward to seeing that on Kickstarter and spreading the word about Dr. Finn and his games.
Thank you, because that's really what I need.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking the mini campaigns would be just a way to continue to raise awareness.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
Well, it's been great having you on the show, Dr. Finn, and we look forward to next time. I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me on.
Bye!
See you later.
Well, it was great having Dr. Finn on our show, and we're going to jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
All right, Sarah, what are you looking at this week?
The first game I want to talk about is Alakazoo, and it is coming to Kickstarter on March 13th, and this is from designer Marcin Podsiadlo and publisher Creative Maker LLC. And Alakazoo is a fun dice rolling and card drafting set collection game. You have a monster that you are building, kind of like, I don't know, Lego style. I don't know what to describe it as. You have
like
different
3D building?
No, it's card based.
It's based, but everyone has a set of cards and it's in a grid. So there's cards for heads and there's cards for arms and cards for legs. And you have to either try and get rows. You score by rows and columns, and you have to try and roll dice to match symbols on your board, and then also match which cards you're going to place on those symbols. And then you can either match all the same type of cards and get bonus points, and then or you can get all different and have a really crazy looking animal at the end. So it's pretty fun. We enjoyed this one, and this one is coming out on March 13th.
And you and Will did a review or preview video.
Yes, we did a preview video, so you can see the artwork's really great on this one. It's very lighthearted and fun, but there's a lot of detail and richness to it that I enjoyed. So, check this one out. Kevin, what do you have?
Well, before I talk about my game, I wanted to mention on March 12th, Pandasaurus Games is bringing a Kickstarter.
Or maybe it's just an announcement.
I don't know. I think they're going to start a Kickstarter campaign.
Something is happening.
I believe a Kickstarter campaign, but they're being really quiet about it and like almost like coy. And
like taunting, teasing?
Yeah, they're taunting. Like, people are like, because they've shown pictures for Dulasaur Island, which is a two-player version of Dinosaur Island, which has been a pretty popular game. Then they also sort of announced an expansion to this Dinosaur Island, which was a game designed by John Gilmore. And people keep saying, like, it's one of these two games, and they're like, what? What's Kickstarter? Like, they, like, really funny, like answers to people when they, like try to, like, point them on, like, what's, like, are you bringing an expansion to Kickstarter? Like, what's a campaign? Anyway, so we'll hopefully see something or hear something on March 12th from Pandasaurus, and I'm hoping it's something to do with Dinosaur Island. So, but the game I want to talk to you about is Architects of the West Kingdom, and that's coming from Garp Hill Games on March 13th. It's a 1-5 player game, and you won't believe it, but you're trying to construct buildings.
What?
Architects of the West Kingdom, I know.
I'm looking forward to this one. I'd like to see more of the gameplay.
Yeah. Now, is this actually in the North Sea trilogy, or is it just by the same people?
The same people, because it's got the Mikos with the art, so it's beautiful artwork. Because it says it's set in the end of the Carolingian Empire. Is that how you say it? Carolingian?
Yeah.
Good job.
No, this is way after North Sea stuff, then.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's going to be connected. I mean, unless it's like loosely connected, but
could be a time travel thing, you just don't know.
So it's got card drafting and set collection and worker placement and stuff like that, but the interesting thing that about this game is, not of course, not only you're going to be constructing these buildings throughout the game, but it says that players will need to make a lot of moral decisions throughout the game.
Moral decisions.
So
what?
I'm not sure.
Actually, the Carolingian Empire is around the same time as the Vikings.
Okay.
So
cool. Okay.
Maybe
there's some connection.
Now, they did tie together the three different North Sea games.
They did. Yeah.
And maybe.
But
they
this
will
is like
tie
that's
in.
Like Vikings, and this is like totally not Vikings.
Yeah, but the Vikings invaded this, didn't they? I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay.
I
don't think
getting rusty.
We're speculating.
We are speculating. Anyway, it's cool art. Garp Hill does a great job, and maybe Renegade will pick it up later. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll have to see.
So, Melissa, what do you have?
I've been looking at Harry Potter Miniatures Adventure Game, and this is by Knight Models, and they do games that have miniatures in them. So it's going to have resin miniatures of the characters, and it's following the cinematic universe, so it's going to be tied into the movie characters.
So they're
going to
look like the movies.
Yes.
I saw some of the miniatures, and I was like, oh, that looks like the actors and actresses from the Harry Potter world.
So I have no idea how expensive this is going to be, and if there's core sets and other sets, but they've shown lots of different miniatures of characters, villains, and heroes. This game is 2 to 6 players, and it plays in 30 to 90 minutes. And each player is going to control a group of witches and wizards from the Harry Potter universe.
Oh, is it by house? Are you controlling a house?
I think you get to choose what wizards. Yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe there's some kind sort of like drafting or
mix
something
like and
that.
Match. Yeah. So for mechanics, they said there's dice rolling, grid movement, there's a modular board, and variable player powers. And you can equip your witches and wizards with potions and artifact cards and spells, and you're trying to outmaneuver opponents, you're trying to explore the environment, resolve challenges and quests.
So you are competitive.
I believe everything I looked at seemed to be competitive.
I'd like this game to be like a co-op game. I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can play like the villains. I saw some villain miniatures, so there isn't a whole lot out yet, except they keep showing the miniatures and everyone keeps saying, take my money,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I mean, whoever's painting them has done a beautiful job painting the miniatures. So I don't think you're going to be able to buy them painted.
So this is March 14th, and it's the Harry Potter Miniatures Adventure Game. All right, Ryan, what do you have?
Well, Katie and I are going to talk a little bit about Pocket Pharma. It's by Alley Cat Games. It's their second of two short Quick starters. It's a new thing.
Word.
Quick Kickstarters. I'm just coining this.
I love this. Hashtag Quickstarter.
It's their second of two short quick Kickstarters in March. So it'll be coming out as Pocket Subs Kickstarter wrapping up.
Yeah, they're doing well right now.
Pocket Pharma on the 14th or 15th. Mm-hmm. And we just got to play this game tonight, actually. Mm-hmm. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I lost pretty miserably. I didn't really understand what I was doing at the beginning, but in this, you're basically pharmacies, like these big pharmaceutical companies, I guess, and you are trying to find cures or medicines that go with these different ailments. And each one requires like
different
combinations of cards and they require like a certain amount of side effects that you can't go over. You know, like you can only have so many of the little stomach ache side effects.
That's
you
cool.
know, and then so there's like there's a threshold for things you can't go over. There's a threshold for things you have to reach. There's penalties for going over or not reaching certain things. And I took a lot of penalties because I didn't know what I was doing at first, and I started realizing this is all negative points. I'm not doing very well.
Yeah, you really do have to balance your gathering of all those negative points and make sure that you're gaining negative points to gain a net income of positive points.
Yeah, so there are a lot of negative points dealt out in this game because you have to. It's one of the card systems where you have... They all slide down at the end of a turn so that the one on the end is free.
Yeah, it sort of looks like Sensory Spice Road a little bit in the card, how you get your cards.
Yes.
So
but you pay in points.
Instead of cubes.
For cards that have just come out.
This is purely card-based, right? It's all cards?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, it is, and it's a small box, so it's pretty
nice. It is, yeah.
There's a cost to progress, though, human progress.
It is.
And sometimes you have to do... One step back, take two steps forward.
Yeah, so I didn't play this one, but the points are actually, was it money? Kind of like you're getting...
You're the first one to...
Earning money or getting penalties from...
You're taking these pharmacies or these pharmaceutical things to trial, and then you, if you're successful, then you... end up, like, as a first person, you get the most if you're the first one to find medicine for that. And then the second person to do it is, there's less of a reward.
Being first to market is important then.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was willing to sacrifice a lot of points to be first to market to cure cancer, and it didn't work out for me.
So basically the government was fining you for your drug not being good enough.
Yes, because
there were too many side effects.
Too many side effects, and yeah. So it was interesting. There's a real balance there between positive points and negative points, and I did not strike the right balance.
Sarah, did you have another game you wanted to talk about?
I have another game I'm going to talk about. The Primary, which is coming to Kickstarter on March 15th. This one is by designer Matt Kwok with Mountaintop Games. And this is one of those games that we got in the mail to do a preview. And I was like, oh, no, political
game. It looked really political.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about the primary. And then I opened it up and played it, and I was very surprised at how much I liked this game.
We were all surprised
at
how fun the game was.
Is none of the polarizing political issues. Mm-mm. It is simply about the process of how to become a delegate on the ballot or the primary.
But the mechanics themselves are what's fun about it. Like the area control and getting the right cards and stuff like that.
Being in the right place at the right time when votes are collected.
Right.
Yeah, there was a lot of great mechanics put together for this one. It is programming, but even the programming part of it was, you know, I don't like Colt Express personally because I know that's some people's favorite game, but I don't like the programming part of that because I get to turns where I can't actually do anything on my turn because, you know, somebody moved or somebody shot at me. This one, you can still adjust partway through. You'll program four actions, and sometimes you can, you know, change your mind. You just have an action for movement, and you can go anywhere else on the board you want to, you know. So I felt like the programming wasn't as controlling as some programming games are, but the area control was really great. So
cool.
Check out The Primary on March 15th.
Well, that's awesome. Some cool games coming to Kickstarter, but let's jump into our next interview with Ted Osbach. Hey, Ted.
Hey.
Hello, glad to be here.
So what is Bezier up to today?
So we're very excited because today we launched Werewords Deluxe on Kickstarter, and it did really, really well. It's still going, I guess. It's about at 24K at this point where we're talking, so which is awesome. It's a great, great first day for it.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. So, so it's very, very exciting. We have all sorts of great stuff lined up for people to see, you know, some great stretch goals, some great rewards, all sorts of neat stuff going on.
Yeah, I noticed that you had some unusual or interesting rewards. You have a playmat, and then you have this stuffed werewolf. What is the story about that?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, I'm not exactly sure where the origin of it came from, but the idea is that it's an actual lion werewolf. So it's laying down, or lion down in this case. But, you know, people will often tell you when you're playing, they're like, no, you're a lion werewolf. When you're playing any social deduction games. And this is a great thing to pull out and go, you know what? No, hold on. I'm an honest villager. This is a lion werewolf. And to hold up that stuffed animal. So it's a great prop. But it's also super cute. It's, you know, it was designed to match kind of the one night style werewolf. He's got a little, hard to tell in the pictures, he's got a little like bite out of his ear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's kind of ferocious, but really, really cute.
What prompted Bezier to make a deluxe version of Werewords?
So the original version, you know, there were some things in there we wanted to do, but what happens a lot of times in development when we have an app is that the app gets developed kind of at the same time the game is being developed, and so we test things out in kind of an analog format, live format, with you know, myself or someone else kind of acting as the app, and so you have an assumption about how things are going to work. And as the app is getting put together, it's kind of starting to come together. And by the time the game's ready to ship, you really don't have a lot of time to really do anything else with the app, you know, any special sorts of things with it. We've added some things since the original Werewords has shipped about a year ago to it. We've added some more word lists and some more functionality to make the app a little better. But there were a few things that we realized that we'd really like to do back, you know, a year ago that we couldn't because we weren't sure if the app would be able to do it correctly, and we didn't have time to play test, and, you know, just kind of one of those things, we just ran out of time. And so basically by the time the game shipped, we started experimenting with these new roles and different modes and different things that we could do. And as we were doing that, we realized, you know, we thought, oh, we just throw a couple of those things in, you know, and add them over time. But they actually turned into their own roles. They turned into this new mode called Speed Words, which is really cool. We came up with a two-player variant, which is amazing for a social deduction game. That's super fun. It's just two players playing Word Words, which seems really weird. One person knows the word, the other person may or may not know when they're asking questions, but it works out so, so well. So we had all this stuff together, and so we decided, well, you know, some of it just doesn't work as an app. You need more stuff. You need tokens, or you need roll cards, or whatever for it. So we decided, you know what, this actually makes sense. We were initially going to just do a small little expansion for the game, and then at some point, you know, we heard people, they didn't like the art as much as some of our other games, so we went that, and we looked at the narrator, and the narrator wasn't quite as brash as we wanted him to be. So with all that stuff said, we decided to, you know, take a little longer and really develop it and turn it into Word Words Selects.
Very cool. So can you tell us a little bit of some of the new roles that are in the game?
Sure. So there's four new roles in the game, and we have one possibly as a stretch goal, which is coming up. The four new roles, first off, we have the apprentice. The apprentice takes over for the seer if the mayor is the seer. So normally in Word Words, the seer and the mayor both know the word. However, the mayor can be the seer, in which case no one knows the word except the mayor and, of course, the evil, nasty werewolves. And that's not fair for the village because they don't have anyone to help them. It's also tough for the werewolves to try and figure out who the seer is when the mayor is the seer. It's not as easy, although the mayor does get a slightly easier word to choose from. So what the apprentice does, she steps in, and if the mayor happens to be the seer, the apprentice then gets to see the word and gets to help out the village. So basically it takes over as the seer in those cases when the mayor is the actual seer. A second role we added works in conjunction with that. It's called the fortune teller. Fortune teller is kind of like the seer, but she only sees part of the word. She sees the first couple letters from each of the magic from the magic word. And over time, if she doesn't, you know, if the village doesn't get the word right by the end, then the next game she sees more letters, and she sees more letters. And so her abilities increase over time to kind of compensate for how well people are doing playing the game, which is really cool. It's, again, like one of those little things we can do because we have an app. If you didn't have an app, you'd have to track that somehow, and it'd be kind of hard to do, but the app just does it. It just knows automatically if you got the word right or not. Excuse me. So if you have the word right, it works out. Yeah, it works out really, really well. And that works really well with the apprentice in that the apprentice now takes over for, you know, if the mayor is the fortune teller, the apprentice takes over, and now the apprentice is the fortune teller. And you can play with actually the fortune teller and the seer in the game. And while that's really doubly helpful for the village, now the werewolves actually have two different targets. They can find either one of them and still win the game. So that's cool. So that's two of the roles, the apprentice and the fortune teller. They help out quite a bit. There's also the masons. There are just basically two villagers who know that each other is a mason, so they know that they're safe. So you can trust the mason. One mason can trust the other mason and vice versa. And because in Word Words you never change roles between people, you're guaranteed that other person that you see is definitely safe and is not a werewolf. And you can trust them.
Yeah, those sound like some great additions.
I
said those sound like some great additions.
Yeah, they're really cool. And then the last one, which is a lot of people's favorite, it's really little and silly, but it's a lot of fun. It's called The Thing That Goes Bump in the Night. And The Thing That Goes Bump in the Night actually wakes up in the middle of the night and just bumps the player on their left or the player on the right. And the player on their left or the player on the right knows then that you are the thing if you do this. And that's great for the village because then the village is like, oh, good. We can confirm that one player is not a werewolf because he's the thing, because he bumped me in the night. However, the catch is, if you bump a werewolf, then the werewolf knows you're not the seer, so that's one less person for the werewolf to look for when they're looking for the seer. And also, if the thing bumps in bumps a werewolf and we don't get the word, the werewolf can go, no, he's not the thing, I'm the thing, he didn't bump me in the night, I bumped him in the night. And so, you know, that can actually, you know, cause a little extra confusion and things like that, and just makes the game a little more interesting. And finally, we have a stretch goal for the doppelganger, which hopefully we'll get to. That's at the $100,000 mark. If we get there, the doppelganger gets to look at someone else's role card and be that role too. So that means you can have another werewolf in the game, two seers, two fortune tellers, two apprentices or apprentice-i. I don't know if it's plural, apprentice-i maybe.
Sounds right,
Two things, you know, whatever. Three masons, all sorts of fun stuff. So that adds a lot extra to the game too. And again, all this stuff is really enabled because of what we've done with the app, and the app is super smart about figuring this stuff out. And as mentioned before, you know, if you have the seer and the fortune teller in the game, the werewolves can find either one of those in order to win. Well, the app's smart enough to know that, so if you get the word right, the app will actually say, all right, werewolves, you can find either the seer or the fortune teller. And it's even so smart that if you have the apprentice in the game and the mayor is, let's say, the seer, it'll say, all right, now you can find the apprentice or the fortune teller. But it's not going to say find the seer because he knows that's the mayor. That wouldn't count in that case. So it's actually very, very cool. And it's a really super smart app because of a little bit of logic and sorts of things like that we built into it.
Well, that sounds great. I know we've really enjoyed playing the original version of Werewords. And you have an upgrade pack, right? For people who already have the game, they can just get the upgrade pack.
Yeah. They don't have to buy the whole thing. We have a discount of one for only $15. They can get just all the new rolls. Well, it's actually all the roll cards because you get all the art again. So replace all your old cards. And then any of the stretch goals. So we've already made one of the stretch goals, a physical stretch goal that they'd get, is an oversized correct token. So normally the tokens are kind of little tokens that you hand out to people. The correct token's twice as big. And so that way, for sure, when you put it in front of someone, you know for sure that's the person that got the word right. And it's a little more distinct that you know that it's the session is over, someone's got it, and you got to hit the little correct button on the app.
Well, that's great. Now, what else is Bezier doing? I've heard that you have an expansion to Whistle Stop coming up.
Yeah, we have Rocky Mountains is the new expansion for Whistle Stop. And if you played Whistle Stop, you know it's made of kind of a puzzle board. The outside frame of it is put together like a puzzle. And so what we did is we came up with the idea of putting the Rocky Mountains right in the middle of that board to actually expand it left and right. So it's about three columns of hexes in the center that expand and kind of push that puzzle off to the right and to the left. And in addition to making it go to the right and the left, we actually made it go up. So the Rocky Mountains is actually up. So you're actually placing your tiles up on different layers as you go across the board, which is cool. That, we added a whole bunch of new track tiles and upgrades and a bunch of other things to it. Just kind of adds just a little extra bunch of different things you can do inside Whistle Stop.
Yeah, we actually haven't played it yet. It's on our hopefully someday soon to play because it sounds like a game I'm going to really, really enjoy.
Good.
Well, we appreciate Ted joining us on our podcast this episode. And can you give us a little more information about where to find more information about Werewords and the deluxe edition and any more information about Whistle Stop coming up?
Sure. So Werewords Deluxe Edition is going to be on Kickstarter all the way through the rest of the month of March and the first couple days in April. So you can just go to Kickstarter, you'll find it there. And for Whistle Stop, Whistle Stop's available in stores right now. The Rocky Mountains expansion will be available this August. It'll show up first at Gen Con this year.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Ted. And we will hopefully talk to you soon again.
Bye. Yep, great talking to you guys.
Thanks. Bye.
It's always great having Ted Osbach on the show from Bezier Games, one of our sponsors.
Yeah, speaking of sponsors, we need to talk about Final Frontier Games because their game, Robin Hood and the Merry Men, is still on Kickstarter.
And it's smashing through stretch goals.
Yeah, and there's some really cool stuff. I think they have some coin add-ons, and I think the first player token is now it's like a medallion or something.
Made of gold.
Pure gold.
I'm gonna get in on this.
For only $10. No, so we enjoyed it. If you haven't seen our playthrough video or review video or preview video of Robin Hood and the Merry Men, you can check that out on our YouTube channel. And look for Final Frontier. They also have Cavern Tavern. I know that Sarah and Will really like that game. And Rise to Nobility. Those two games are already out, and you can check those out at your local game store. And another thing that you can check out is our other sponsor, Games, the Game Steward. They take games that were on Kickstarter, and maybe you missed them, and you can go to their website, and you can get all the goodies that you may have missed with some Kickstarter games on thegamesteward.com. So we have, and then, of course, Bezier Games is a sponsor. So, very, very cool.
So, Kevin, tell us a little bit about what's going on our YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. So we've been like gaining subscribers like every day, nonstop. And I'm just like, we need to do something special because we just passed 7,000 and we're gaining about 30 a day on average. And that means in the next couple of months here, we're going to be hitting 8,000, then 9,000, and then projected we should hit 10,000 by like June. So
just in time to jump from a plane at 10,000 feet.
Yes.
What? I mean,
we didn't get that stretch
totally
goal.
In.
Oh,
sorry.
Well, too bad.
Oh well. But what I thought we'd do instead is something for our subscribers. So what? All our followers, I thought, why don't we give some games away and get people to subscribe to our channel? Maybe we can hit the goal of 10,000 quicker than June. So maybe I'll put like some, like if we can hit 10,000 by May something, then we'll give away like 10 games and maybe we'll even do 10? Something. Yeah. And then maybe maybe if we hit 9,000 by May or April, we'll do 9 games. So we can do 9 games in April and 10 games in May.
Ooh, that's a lot of games.
19 games. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. See all the stuff that we're putting out like almost daily now. Mm-hmm. So some really, really cool stuff. So if you think that's a cool idea, you should tweet about it, Facebook us, and let us know. Yeah, let's do a big Tantrum House giveaway.
Yeah, and let us know at guild.tantrumhouse.com what games you might be interested in.
Guild.tantrumhouse.com, or you can just email us at hello@tantrumhouse.com, or Facebook us or tweet to us at Tantrum House, at Tantrum underscore House. Yes. I know. Will started that years ago. At Tantrum underscore House. Yes. Not the word underscore. The symbol underscore.
Everybody knows what that means.
All right, well, that about wraps everything up.
Yes. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.